Good evening, everybody. There's a couple ways to go about this. I want to keep it somewhat informal. I think everybody in the room knows that there's been two public information meetings sponsored by the DOT in addition to a public hearing. The two public information meetings, the first one was in, I believe, July of last year. The second one was in October of last year. And then a public hearing was held in late February this year. There's a lot of public input collected at all of those events, as well as a lot of interaction. I know that a couple of the DOT guys had lunch, actually, with the Brockmeyers the other day in an attempt to gather more information and explain things in detail. So there's been, I'd say, a fair amount of outreach that's taken place between the project team as well as the public. And as a result, the design concept that exists today has been modified significantly from what was originally proposed last April, really kind of April, July, in between that time frame when it was first conceived. What we did is we put together a fact sheet. The DOT and county staff worked the past couple days to put together a fact sheet to clarify a lot of the stuff that's been stated both publicly as well as behind the scenes, in order to make sure that everybody that needs to make a vote and make an educated vote on this project has the information, accurate information, to make a good decision, because ultimately that's what it comes down to. Is everybody going to be happy with whatever decision is made? Absolutely not. In a project this size, it's never going to happen. Is the design going to be able to accommodate everybody's ideals and all their wishes? It's not going to happen in a project this size. That said, I think that there's been a lot of effort to try to take into account everybody's concerns, given what the project does do to the area in its efforts to accommodate the economic development activities that are going to be taking place. I'm going to walk through this kind of just briefly. This is conceptually, this is the same. I don't know, Steve, is this represent exactly what was shown at the public hearing, or has there been some modifications, slight modifications, since the public hearing, again, to accommodate some of the public comments, is what those modifications were. So I'm just going to walk through this briefly. The interstate's out here. This basically the map, just to get some bearings. It's actually two chunks of the road that we're talking about. The road we're talking about is from Highway H to Old Green Bay Road. And it's shown in two segments just so we could fit it on one kind of 8-foot map here. So this starts from the west here. Basically, July of this year, the DOT will have the three lanes of westbound, which is going to be, I'll stand here so folks can see, the three new westbound lanes that are going to make up the six lanes of the new between H and the interstate. Those three lanes are targeted to be completed in July of this year, roughly. And the three eastbound lanes are targeted to be completed by sometime in December of this year. So the six lanes of traffic here, those will be completed in 2019. Where this project picks up is where that leaves off. Again, for the logical reason of six lanes going to two lanes will not be an adequate way to address the traffic needs, not only when this takes place, but given whatever may take place down here as we move forward. This is a four-lane highway. What is represented, some of the little curves, some of the median strips. This median strip here was originally 36 feet. It's been reduced to 30 feet in an attempt to squeeze the footprint of this. An attempt has been made to squeeze the footprint of the overall project wherever possible, but there won't be a sacrifice for the need to accommodate commercial traffic today as well as going forward. I believe here's Mrs. Rex's operation. This was one of the things that was built in so that she will have full access with semi-trucks to get in and out, safely get in and out of her business here, the aquatic farm. The only way you can accommodate that with left turn lanes and the other features is if you have a median of 30 feet. Like I say, it was 36 feet, that's shrunk down to 30 feet now to accommodate that. This is the only median you notice that's put in here. Typically when projects of this size are constructed, there'll be a random kind of assignment of medians. There's many examples of this. Highway 50, Washington Road in Kenosha, they're all over. It's not really the way to go about it. As development occurs in these other areas, this 30-foot median will accommodate whatever makes the most logical sense with whatever's proposed here, what may be proposed here. Lord knows where it's going to be proposed. The median will accommodate whatever ingress and egress is required by that development whenever it occurs. It'll be able to occur safely. If we don't have that median size that way, we shrink things up now. When that development occurs, you basically have to blow up that section of the road, go through a fairly laborious process, not only from an acquiring a property standpoint, but also from an engineering standpoint and construction standpoint to do that. So it doesn't really make sense. Highway 50 wasn't constructed that way 40 years ago. Highway 20 wasn't constructed that way 40. You have to do these things with an eye to the future, or it becomes really expensive if you don't do it that way. So moving east, this was another area that had major revisions. This was the Johansson property is here. This was originally, there was one concept that showed it on the north, and then as it actually became developed, it was then moved to the south. And this used to be, the alignment took place here. Again, based on public comments from not only the Johansons, but the folks that live in this property as well. Once this property was acquired by the village of Mount Pleasant, we were able to move this to the north and then shrink the footprint of this as well. It's going to give access to the Johansson property, not only on KR, but on EA as well. So those types of modifications were made to accommodate the concerns, rightfully, of the property owners in those areas. So that was a major change that was made there. The size of these ponds was minimized to accommodate definitely what is needed from a stormwater management standpoint, because one of the biggest things folks have heard that live in this area and the extended area is the impact of all this development and what it could potentially have on the properties from a stormwater standpoint. All this stormwater stuff has been engineered at this point to accommodate everything that's needed, but it's not highly over-engineered. There's nothing that's dramatically oversized. It's engineered to accommodate what's necessary to safely manage the stormwater here. We'll pick up here. So now we're coming up to the first railroad tracks. The UP, I was getting mixed up. The UP and the CP.
CP's west.
CP's west, so I passed it over. CP's here, yeah, okay. So UP, this is the east railroad track. Two other things to point out. You can barely see it, but there's blue lines here. These blue lines, basically, if I remember right, are the right-of-way. Yeah, those are right-of-way lines. The reason this bows out as you go over the tracks is to accommodate that overpass and the slopes required to build that overpass up. That's why it widens out as you go over the tracks. When you get to the UP, which is the Eastern Railroad tracks, we had to narrow that up. So it's a more expensive feature, but it is the best way to handle the situation here, given the density of population on the south side of the road here. Basically, this will be a wall on this side. So it's a vertical wall. It's tapered on the other side. There's not as many properties there. There was a major change here that was talked about in the fact sheet as well. Originally, the concept was to attach these five property owners that are going to be right next to the railroad track that are now going to have a fairly tall wall, given the overpass here. We originally had planned to connect that to this subdivision as we thought was going to be a less painful way to deal with providing access to these five property owners. We quickly learned not only were the property owners were kind of lukewarm to it, but the folks in this subdivision were very adamant that not take place. So we re-engineered it, so there's now a little frontage road that provides access to these five property owners, and there's no access, no connection to this subdivision. Those are changes that were made based, again, on public input and public concern. Also, as part of that, by doing this, we were able to, well, I'll talk about this in a second. So originally, the bike path, or the multi-use trail, was all on the south side of this. That all got moved to the north side, again, as a result of public input. And even further, so there's a multi-use path on the north side of KR. What the folks that live there, Mrs. Mai and some of the other folks that have spoken at many of the meetings, they're very concerned about how close the multi-use path, how much extra property takes place. I know, although it hasn't been decided, I know based on recent meetings that because it was suggested by the property owners to move this behind the homes, that is being looked at, and it's actually showing on this map in a dotted line format for just that reason. It's showing there right now because that is where all the engineering work's been done, the soil testing and the surveying and stuff. That's why it's there right now. But they are doing that work. The engineering team is already started on the work to see if that can be safely moved to the back. There's some wetlands and some other issues that need to be sorted out, but they've started that engineering work just to see if it can be moved there. Continuing east, the Miller or the Mueller property, there were two, potentially, one or two large stormwater ponds there. This new feature showing, it's in the right-of-way, it minimizes the amount of land required to accommodate stormwater. It's actually a new stormwater feature, I forget the exact name of it. It's a new style, which will minimize the amount of land required to store the water, but does it using a little different approach. There's actually kind of, it's stepped down, there's kind of waterfalls to it. There's also access that's provided into the Miller property because they were very concerned about that. They were told over the years there was no access to their property. There is access to their property off of Highway KR. There's also access, just to talk about their property for a bit, because over the years when new State Highway 31 was put in, it actually split the Miller property. And one of the siblings, I don't remember her name, she indicated to me at the public hearing that they had no access to this other piece of property. Well, when we met with the DOT folks, we ensured that they have access, this whole area provides access into their property as well as off Old Green Bay Road. By state statute, there is no access for anybody on new State Highway 31. It's actually in the state law. But we did what we could to optimize and make sure those folks do have access to those properties, so if they want to commercially develop them or sell them, they have that ability to do that going forward. It's limited because a lot of this property happens to be in the floodplain because the Pike River runs through there, but there still will be land there available for them to work with. So the point is, as we worked through this over the past roughly year, there was a lot of public input, and there was a lot of public input that's reflected in this drawing as it is right now. Is everything in there? No, it isn't. Were things done to improve safety, functionality, all that has been incorporated. One of the big things was talked about the speed limit, that the speed limit should be 35 here. There's great examples actually out in the county here, because I happen to live in a county here, where towns have taken and moved, put a speed limit at 25, because they thought, man, if this is only 25, this is really going to solve all our problems. You know what I'm talking about, because it's out near you. It's 25, people drive in there, there's the one person that drives 25, and it's everybody else that drives 45, because that's what the road can comfortably handle. What does it do? It causes big problems and potentials for crashes, because there's subdivisions on that stretch. And what happens is, because you got one person following the letter of the law, and everybody else driving at a comfortable speed, you have problems. The road right now is 45 here. It's unsafe right now because there is no shoulders. There are a lot of accidents and near misses because it can't safely accommodate what's there. By going to four lanes, moving any of the pedestrian or bike traffic off the side so it's not a part of the main traffic flow, which the multi-use path will do, as well as having four lanes if there's ag equipment or a stalled car, somebody that's slow moving, there's the ability to navigate and safely get around that person. That said, what we've committed to with the DOT is after this is open, if we can do a traffic study to determine if in fact what is there is unsafe. So after the thing is actually in use and people are using it, we can go out there, do a regular traffic study following the standard methodology for doing traffic studies, and we can make adjustments if that is required. But to do that on the front end will absolutely create the conditions of somebody that's going to follow that 35 to the letter of the law, and the other people will drive at what they feel comfortable driving, and it will in fact create unsafe conditions. So to do that is not a good idea. Not a good idea. So the big issues that have been talked about are speed limits, the footprint, what's that one?
8 foot shoulder.
8 foot shoulder. Yeah, so actually that was one of the things that was added in this heavily densely populated area. There is an 8 foot shoulder, 8 foot, but it allows turnout so folks can safely get out of the lane of traffic and move as they get into their driveway or pull out of their driveway. We just saw a note that came through this afternoon that somebody was arguing that was going to create unsafe conditions. Mm-hmm. Well, from an engineering standpoint, in real life standpoint, it won't. It will add a safety measure to the footprint. It adds value to from a safety standpoint. Now, this is where the design is right now. The prints are, depending on how you want to say, 40 to 60% complete. Are there going to be fine tuning to this as the project moves forward? Absolutely, because we still have to develop construction drawings to actually be able to bid and build this project. There's going to be other changes to this, but not heavy material changes. It'll be fine-tuning type changes. What's in the resolution before you tonight is the plat plan that would allow the footprint of this road to be constructed. That's the first step in the process. You have to develop the plan enough to get to the point so you know what the footprint of the actual property you're going to need is defined. That's where we're at. We're at that point with the design that now we say this is really what the footprint needs to be. It has shrunk from the original, from where we started. That's where we're at. We're at that step. We have to do it. We're doing the south side of the road. Racine is concerned with, has to do for the north side of the road. So there's two separate plat plans, one for Kenosha County, one for Racine County. Ours is before you tonight.
All right, good. Questions or discussion? Jeff?
Okay, just before I forget, so you're asking us to approve a 40% complete footprint, correct?
No. I'm asking you to vote on 100% footprint. The actual details of what are going to take place in there could be tweaked slightly, but they're all going to fall within that footprint.
Okay.
So the footprint's 100% defined.
So the changes down the road, we're not going to see, or we're not going to have any input on. I mean, because we're approving the footprint, then you're going to do what you want with it.
Right. Typically, the way it works, it's always worked, and the way it does work is the board needs to approve the footprint, so the actual property that's acquired, the design is actually part of the design process.
Okay. Well, I see four issues that have been talked about in all the meetings that I've went to. The median, the bike path, the overpasses, and the speed limit. Those to me are what really I've heard. Okay, the median, I mean, I guess you've explained it to us. You can't really shrink it more. I understand we don't want to, you know, tear up the road and redo it, and you've brought it down as far as it can go, you know, for future use. And six lanes to four lanes to two lanes, I mean, that's the way it should go. You can't go six to two. I mean, that'd be like a cork in a wine bottle. I mean, I'm not an engineer, and I even see that. The overpasses, I'm going to wait and let other people ask. I see the need for the overpass over the one that has the 36 or 46 trains that are long. I mean, what about the Metra or whatever that they're speeding by? Do we need an overpass on that? You know, I'll let you convince me one way or the other on that. Speed limits, you know, I think I'm comfortable with where they're at. I don't know that, you know, we want to increase them. You know, I'll take the engineering and safety issue of not having them 35. But, you know, I understand people's, desire to have them as low as they can go. I get that, but I also am going to say one thing. Even though I'm not voting on it, I really would be disappointed if you don't move that bike path out of there for those people in Racine. You don't need a bike path on that road. And I'd rather have it behind their properties. So, I mean, I can't vote on that. I'm not, you know, that's not my purview, but I'd be very disappointed with the meetings that I've sat through if you don't do that. So just between you and I right now, that's the way I feel about it. Let's see all my notes. I think at that point I'll leave it to other people. Those are just the things that I've seen and had questions on. So thank you very much.
Jeff.
Okay, you mentioned in that first part in the upper, the median went from 36 to 30 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can you explain a little more in detail why it's 30 and not 22, for example? Why would that be?
So the 22, where we've got that, I should have talked about that, is right here. So what that accommodates, because you see there's not a green section. So this 30 foot is a green section because it is actually going to be grassed initially. This 22 foot section, basically from here to here, is grade level. It's all going to be the same. So it's what they call a twiddle, a two-way left turn lane. So if you go through Paddock Lake and by Central High School, that's a twiddle. That's a two-way left turn lane. So what that can safely accommodate is folks, this was one of the things that the folks really wanted, was the ability to turn left or right going out of their house, as opposed to having to pull out, go right, find a place to do a U-turn, and then go west.
Sorry to interrupt, but you're saying so that two-way left turn lane is, they're sharing the
narrower.
Same
It's road. Narrower. Yeah,
it's so there's... They're separate lanes, or they're sharing the same lane?
It shares the same. It's a two-way left turn lane.
Okay.
So that can't really accommodate a semi turning around in it safely. Whereas this will be able to accommodate access for a semi doing a left turn and turning out of there. It gives you enough geometry to work with to create that kind of a thing. You can't do it with a 22 foot. Steve or David, you can feel free to correct me or fine tune that if that's not right.
Okay, and then the folks down there where all the properties are,
yep.
Are they losing any of their property, or is it starting right on there?
The right of way does take some property, but it's fairly minimal because those are all fairly close right now today. If you drive down there,
I know, and I have.
So, can you guys speak to that maybe a little bit?
Near that frontage road area where you're pointing.
Yeah, the frontage road, is that the only area?
Yeah,
or is
to the east, there is not, except for right at the very corner of 56th Avenue.
Okay, so then this whole section, there's no right of way being taken.
No permanent right of way. There are temporary easements to grade driveways, and that's it.
Temporary easements just to connect the driveway.
I was concerned about that because it looks like some of those setbacks are maybe 30 feet at the minimum, up to maybe 50. It looks like if they lost any more of their property.
Yeah, and that was one of the reasons at the very beginning, all the new construction is taking place on the north side of the road in this area. All it's to do that, to preserve the smaller, but not take any more away from those folks.
Right. Thank you.
Further discussion?
Just a question.
So we had a chance, myself and Supervisor Maurer, to get together with DOT yesterday to talk about some of the concerns that we've heard from our constituents. And in that meeting, David Wynn was there, as well as Brent Wallace. David, I see you here. Mm-hmm. I would invite you to come up and specifically talk about, because you guys are in the process of putting the details forward that these constituents sitting behind me need to hear, because they directly impact their concerns. And since you were there, you're working on it, you can give a little bit more insight on it. Number two is what your plans are after you kind of ferret out some of the details with regards to Racine and when that presentation would take place.
Good evening. I'm David Nguyen with the DOT. Thanks for the opportunity last night, Supervisors. It's hard to roll the tongue there, but so I'm going to walk through one by one. Let's take the 20-foot median first, right? I think initially, Ray is correct. We were going to go with a wider median in here, and it was going to be curb and gutter, so you can't just drive out of your driveway and go west like you do today. So we took the feedback and then we went back and to the drawing board and we came up with the two-way left turn lane. And the median is now is 22, but then if you could picture it, it's gonna take some explaining. You have the concrete curb and gutter where each side is gonna take 3 feet. So 22 minus 3 and 3, and now you're down to 16. Last night, you brought it up, Mike, that, hey, how come, why don't you make it narrower? You know, go down to 12 or 14 or whatever. To our standard, it, typically, what we like to do is for the residents on the south side to be able to come out. Most of us, when we pull out into a narrow, short median, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I'm, you know, I typically have my, the trunk of my car sticking out into the through lane. So if it were to be 12 feet, it'd be way too short, you know. So 16 is a desirable amount to fit a vehicle in there comfortably. And you're sitting there waiting for westbound traffic to go through so you can make a left turn lane. So that's why it's 16 feet. You know, sure, you know, some of us, Steve and I, we would go, all right, it's 22, but it's really 16 feet, you know, with the mountable curb. So that's how the 22 came about. The overpass, you brought it up, right? Okay. We were talking about CP. You're right, you know, there's like 54 trains a day. 12 Amtraks and the other, help me do the math, and 42 freight trains. So anytime that you have that number of trains and the number of vehicles through this area daily, on the average, you know, you could have between, what, 8,800 to 9,000 daily. When you multiply that by the number of trains, if the only way that we can build this road without an overpass is the number of conflicts is less than 4,000. There's no way that we could do that. I mean, just by the number of vehicles alone, it's not going to work for CP. So let's talk about UP. This is the one that y'all wanted to be at grade, right? We have 12 trains a day. And let's just take a lower number, 8,000. For sure that, you know, the number of conflicts there is gonna be over 4,000 already. So that's not gonna work. The Office Commissioner of Rail, certainly when anytime that we have to deal with a railroad crossing, we would need their approval. If we submitted in a concept for a rail crossing, they would push, they would recommend that we go to an overpass. So that's why that the two railroad crossing are gonna have bridges. So I hope I addressed that.
Is
that,
one of them an Amtrak with fast moving trains, or are they mixed?
No, Amtrak and freight at CP here is all freight.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Either way, the only way, I mean, the traffic on, well, the traffic on UP would have to be way down, like maybe, I don't know, I mean 1,000 a day or something. It's not 1,000 a day. It's like somewhere between 8,000 to 9,000 on the low side. So that's not going to work. Sure, somebody, Mike, you brought it up last night too. Oh, what about people going over the tracks and coming down too fast? You're right. You know, What we are going to do, as Ray has indicated, that we're going to do a speed study. There are signing, advanced signing, that's going to, or pavement marking, that we're going to, you know, those are like final design details that we're going to be able to employ once the project, you know, approaches final design. So we're going to be checking into those things to make sure that, yeah, we don't have a problem here. So what was the
path,
right. I know, I'm glad to see Leslie Mai here tonight. we are gonna, Steve and I are gonna come down, just like meeting with the Brockmeyers. Al, nice to meet you again. Is Janine here?
No, she's home, she's not here.
Oh, so nice to meet you again. So we're gonna come down we're gonna make the same offer to all the residents in that whole stretch. I mean, if they want us to come out and put some lats or stake where the new right-of-way or the new path or the new edge of the roadway is going to be, we're gonna do that. I don't think we've been out there yet, but we're going to do it tomorrow, early next week, right? Hopefully the weather holds up. And the path, so what, I know. I mean, we're working through this, and Steve and us have been scratching our heads. Like, all right, how are we going to lessen the impact of Leslie? All right, right now, the roadway, the edge of roadway, according to this drawing, is going to be, what, 69 feet, right, Steve? To the side of her her garage, is it correct, Leslie?
Or, it's 65 feet closer than it is
today. Oh, 65 feet closer. So what we're going to do is that we're going to look for ways to relocate a path, have it running north. What's kind of nice about that, Mount Pleasant is the owner of this area where they're going to turn it into a park. It would make sense to run the path through the park, whether adjacent to the pond, meandering it through, or run it along the property line. So, you know, one of the challenges for that is, what about the properties along here? Now, let's say we move it back there. Some may say, all right, I'm fine with that. I got more frontage. Some may prefer to have more backyard or something. I think one of the challenges that we're going to run into is the fence. You know, if we cut it through right in the middle of the lot, that's going to, you know, of course, they're going to say, well, that's going to divide up my lot for future development. Do we go further to the north side of her lot? You know, so those are some of the options that we'll have to work through. If we were to be able to do that, then the range of lessen of the impact is somewhere between 20 to 25 feet that we're gonna lessen. So go ahead. Yeah, I see the hand back there.
Yeah, and you're lessening at 20 or 25 feet. Then why is it? Do we go and pass this plant
right,
because we're mocking in
what Ray is like, yeah. And yeah,
this
go
is
ahead, Ray.
Everything that David just talked about is on Mount Pleasant. It's on
so
the
we're not
side.
We don't have any
our
any
right
on that.
He's just addressing it because some of the folks are here tonight, but our plat plan isn't going to get modified from what's before you tonight. It is what it is. It's what's needed to do the project from our on the south side.
So at last night's meeting, no agreement was reached with the homeowners or the property owners that a change is going to be made of some kind.
No, last night was just three supervisors and Representative Kirkman.
They just had an informational
meeting. So that our committees here are clear, what he's talking about right now would be on the Racine County mm-hmm. side. So it wouldn't pertain to what we're passing this evening. Or not passing. Okay. Just a accommodating conversation.
Further discussion? John,
okay. Just one other thing, Dave. You made a comment yesterday that the railroads are actually chipping in or contributing
that,
to
that's correct.
The overpass
right.
cost.
And you know, every bridge that we build, we like to have a 75-year life out of it. And in this case, UP Railroad is willing to throw in 10% of the cost. And CP, however, you know, they're not pitching in as much, but so that's the advantage of doing that.
Now, one other piece, Mr. Chairman, that is a bit conflicting here, and that had to do with the jurisdictional transfer that we signed back last spring, it was. And that states specifically that this project terminates at Old Green Bay Road. But the plan extends beyond that. So the agreement that we came up with does not fall in line with what the plan is. So either that agreement's got to be revised or this plan is going to be shifting west. And that has to do with the tail of 4 to 2 lanes.
Right, like right in here,
this,
right?
So, yeah. So this, obviously, you need to develop a transition, and that's basically what this is doing.
I know what that is. Yeah. I'm saying it is not in alignment with what we agreed to as the board.
I don't know if it hard defined this as the termination point. All I know is that this portion, there was a number of modifications made in here to accommodate what the folks in Campbell's Woods wanted, as well as the folks that live on this side. So this design reflects a lot of changes to accommodate what these folks wanted to see in this. So it needs to be, this needs to be, from an engineering standpoint, this needs to be a part of the plan
right,
in order
to, make it
to safely terminate the road.
Better.
I'm not denying that isn't a reasonable way to go about it. I'm saying the jurisdictional transfer doesn't line up with what the plan is. So I would ask either Chairman Rose and the Corp Counsel to look into this, and either we've got to revise it, because it's our responsibility to oversee what this total project is and approve it, or that's got to go west, because it states Old Green Bay Road. Not Old Green Bay Road and 300 or 400 yards of transition. Wasn't worded that way. So, not saying the plan doesn't make sense. Saying it's not in alignment with what we were presented as the board.
Does if we pass this, does that overrule the prior resolution? Or?
I just want to give a little explanation. Typically, when we design this project, we have what they call a logical termini. A logical termini means that that's where the project stops. But it doesn't mean that you cannot make a little bit of improvement to accommodate where your project stops. If you go to the real definition, the logical termini is here. This improvement here is the same thing. Like, if I'll give you an example, when you're constructing a road and you go into somebody's driveway, there are times that during construction the grade of the driveway is really steep and you want to make it better. You're walking out with the homeowner, you are walking outside the footprint of the plot that you approved. It doesn't mean that you've gone out of scope. It just means that you're trying to make it work so that it goes smooth, that it serves the public, it serves the homeowner. That's the same thing we're doing here. So the logical terminal will still stay as Old Green Bay Road, but it's just the same thing if you're building a road and somebody says, oh, the shoulder is this bad over there, and then you tell the contractor, okay, can you get that? And you do some change mod to get it, but it's outside the scope. But the project will still accommodate that because it is necessary to make the project work. So that's what we did here.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, aren't in line, and
no,
that needs to be reviewed by Corp Counsel.
No, by definition, this is still the end. This is the logical terminal. The project is not.
Doesn't look like it on that plan.
I join you on the comment.
I guess I'm not entirely certain what the concern is from Supervisor Skolitsky. The agreement that we have does speak of going to Old Green Bay Road, and specifically what it talks about is that the counties are going to split the costs to design excuse me, not to design, we'll split the cost for the construction from Old Green Bay Road to Green Bay Road. To do that as a four-lane rather than a two-lane. I think that's all it speaks to, and beyond that, what's happening past that is, number one, the counties are working on it. Number two is in, as Clement said, is in conjunction with best practice in terms of making sure that the road doesn't dramatically and suddenly go from four lanes to two. I don't think there's anything. I don't see where there's a problem with the design being in conflict with the agreement.
Well, in originally, there's additional easement that's been required here to transition what is now a two-lane road to a four in back down to two. That's the conflict that I'm saying. It wasn't in original scope. Originally, this was going to terminate at 31. Then it was negotiated to go to old 31. Now it's 200-400 yards beyond Old Green Bay Road. Okay, that's my opinion on it. It is impacting homeowners up there. I'm not sure that they're aware of what this plan even looks at or looks like, but I'll let other supervisors.
So do you want to address that in a letter to the committee in the form of an opinion? Give us your thoughts.
I'm happy to try and put something together.
All right.
Well, our job is to oversee the administration, correct? Okay, and the administration said something, and we reviewed it, debated it, and voted on it unanimously. And now the scope has changed. That's all I'm saying, without us ever knowing about it until our plans showed up. I'm not saying the plans are bad.
So the point I'd make is to echo what Clement said. When a plan is drawn up or a concept is drawn up, early stage, the term logical termini is, I believe, a statutorily used term. It's not something he just made up. You define where the logical term, where's the logical point of termination for the project. Well, on this end, it's H, and here it's Green Bay Road. It's not 400 feet east of Green Bay Road. The logical termini is here. That's why that term, that's the term of art that they used. So this piece can be defined. Obviously, everybody knows you don't terminate here and then boom, we're going to have a, there's no transition. There has to be a transition, but exactly what that transition is going to be at the time it's put together. So that's why it's used. If it was a logical termini was New Green, it would be here, and there still would be some transition beyond that. So that's
now that's one of the Dave.
If I may tack on real quick, per the agreement, it does say that we should go from two to four lanes here. Isn't that correct, Council? You read it just now.
Yeah, what it says is the county shall split and reimburse the department the increased cost to construct, but not cost to design, a portion of the KR segment between State Trunk Highway 31 to Old State Trunk Highway 31 as a four-lane road versus a two-lane road with acceleration and deceleration lanes.
So from the state perspective, if we were to take it literally and adhere, you're gonna have a four lane road and butting up with the two lane road, like, and you know, you don't wanna go from four to two abruptly. They would take my license away if I would have drawn the plans up like that. So the smart thing to do is to transition it back to two. So do I, if this is the predicament that if I follow what Supervisor Skaliski was saying, it was that I would have to go down to two. I have to transition it somehow, right? I either do it here, then I wouldn't meet the agreement.
Yeah.
The right thing to do is to do it here. So, if I may, real quick, yes, there were comments, concerns about, that came from these residents before. We were going to extend the median a little bit further east, and the people coming out of this subdivision wouldn't be able to make a left turn. So we took the feedback, we shortened that up just so they could come out and make a left turn. Sure. Yeah, there are like at least two or three driveways here. They're going to have to come out, make a right, and then do a U-turn to go back west. Yeah, I admit that's the inconvenience of this. However, you know, perhaps in the, you know, we could go back and look for ways to improve that. So that you know, thank you for bringing that up. It's a good point. However, when the state looked at that agreement, you know, we can't just go from, I mean, per that agreement, it's four lanes from here to here. So I can't just go and give you two lanes and say, well, you're going to turn around and tell the state that, hey, you didn't live up to the agreement.
John, I just had one other question. Dave, you had mentioned about the 8-foot shoulders, okay? And when we were talking, you said during your informational the process, you'd received feedback that the residents on the Kenosha side were in supportive or were supportive of a wide, because obviously shoulder right now doesn't exist. What is it, 1 foot maybe? And you're in the ditch. So having a wider shoulder certainly does make some sense. It does allow residents to get out of the main lane with traffic. Maybe they're still partially in, but traffic could move safely around them. I just want to make sure that is why you put the 8 foot on both sides, based on feedback you got from the residents.
That's
not
correct.
Just some design stuff.
That's correct. And you know, not to answer you directly or comment to what you just say directly. Village board member Jackie Nelson brought it up from Summers. She brought it up during a very first PIM that, hey, you know, you may want to take this back to the drawing board. You know, there's a lot of driveways here. I wouldn't put the path on the south side because as you're backing up, because apparently she had a similar situation with her driveway. There could be somebody coming, you know, east on the path, and then you wouldn't be able to see them. You know, that'd be a problem. And so what we took that feedback and we moved it to the north side. Now, again, we're picking winners and losers, right? But that's why we have these meetings, just to get the feedback at the hearing. You know, and Jackie, you brought it up that, hey, you know, you're taking way too much of my frontage. So that's how we went back again to make changes to move the path. The 8-foot shoulder is, to me, I don't know about the rest of you, but it's a nice feature to have, that to be able to pull off and turn it into your driveway. Again, in and out is so much easier. I wouldn't want to back into a live traffic lane.
Was your question
answered?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. John O'Day.
I just want to clarify from somebody, 72nd Avenue, from the original plan to now, is it the 72nd? Is that wider now than it was originally?
It's narrow now.
It's narrower?
Originally. Yeah.
But it's got five lanes in there? How many lanes are in that?
In 72nd North and South, you mean? EA?
Two lanes of traffic, but there are turn lanes here, so there's
right. A left turn lane. Again, we have a transition from two down to one. Existing is only one and one. It's a two lane road, and we have a transition to like here, mm-hmm. to like here, and other pieces. We can't just end it abruptly.
But this is narrower than it was in one of the previous designs. I know that this footprint was narrowed up and it was shortened up. Again, to minimize the impact to the landowners on this site. And everything was shifted. The major surgery is being done on the north here, so that it could minimize the impacts to the folks on the south.
Ed?
Can I ask this one question? The area between 31 and old 31, you wanted to maintain four lanes going over the overpass? Is that why we went four lanes going over there? Could you transition from four to two before there? Yes.
No, the overpass is back that way.
Okay, so but forget what I just said there. Just say from there to there, transition from four to two before you get to Old Green Bay Road. Would we do that?
Well, like I had mentioned earlier, per the agreement, we need to give Racine and Kenosha counties four lanes here.
Okay.
So that was pretty, that's how when we read the agreement. So we were obligated to build four lanes there. So and once you build four lanes there, you got to transition it on the other side from four down to two.
Yeah. And there's another practical thing there too between those two intersections. Those are close. They're about, I think, 1,700 feet apart. Both of those are signalized intersections. Both of those will have separate left turn lanes. Okay. You know, for going east to north, for example, to Old Green Bay Road. So that's a race median, separate turn lane. We do traffic counts out there to figure out how many people make that move, and then we design that length of the turn lane accordingly. So you have that much storage, and then that transitions back. There isn't enough room between those two roads to accommodate that turn lane heading east and then the corresponding one going west to Highway 31. There's enough room to transition in and out of that. So you need that section anyway.
Thank you.
The addition of that section between Old Green Bay and State Highway 31 was at the request of the Public Works and the county executive. It was actually a long time ago when this first discussions were being made that transition, as they just said, wouldn't work. And we negotiated monies and other things in the contract to have that go up to Old Green Bay Road and make it more efficient.
Zach.
This isn't about the plat so much as it is the residential area on the Kenosha side. So when you go into Racine County off of 31, or you go into the village of Paddock Lake off of 50, the village of Paddock Lake, I feel, better illustrates this. As you go through the village past the school and the different businesses there, it slows down from 55 to 35. And when you're through the village, it picks right back up at 55. And so my question is, can we not do that for that chunk there? And I know what I think your immediate response will be is people won't listen to it. Well, whether you go into Racine there and you have Mount Pleasant police officers, or you're going through the village of Paddock Lake, I mean, those areas are so well controlled. People know, I mean, you have to slow down because of the area that we're in. So is that not something we can do initially, slow that down in that chunk and pick it back up? I know the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department does a great job of enforcing that in Paddock Lake and throughout the county. I mean, is that not an option just for that area there?
I can respond. From a design standpoint, it's really is safe. Now, the Paddock Lake here, I drive that every day, right? So the number of commercial entities on both sides of the road, in addition to the high school entrance and exits there, it's a much different configuration than what is here.
And I'll give you that. Paddock Lake is much more dense on both sides of the road than this area is here.
As is the section actually going into Racine was brought up, you know, on 31 as you go north up to Highway 11, same kind of thing. It's both sides of the road. So is that something that could come out of this? If we do the speed study afterwards, possibly, but... I defer back because I've been told this many times from not only these guys but previous engineers that when you artificially set a speed limit below what is really the 85% of the folks are comfortable driving it, you will create more problems than you solve by doing that. And that's an engineering standard. That's a design standard. So that's why this is designed that way.
Gotcha.
Just a couple questions. Again, getting back to the medium width, I'm sure you're familiar with Highway 165 going through Lakeview Corporate Park. The massive amount of trucks as well as cars, those mediums are nowhere near the width of these things. And I don't know why we can't look at that to try to shrink this footprint a little bit. Unless the intent, and again, I don't know what the intent is, to have enough footprint to go six lanes in the future. I don't know if that's the intent. Secondly, I forgot your first name.
David.
When do you present this to Racine County, these new things that you're talking about?
Well, we meet with both Kenosha and Racine, Clement and Julie and Anderson on a bi-weekly basis. So
I mean officially to present, like a board meeting.
Do you mean the board? Yeah, the board is scheduled, I think, for the 25th, I believe, is their first And they work it a little different. I don't think it goes...
Is that like a committee meeting?
I think it goes... It gets, the board refers it to the committees, and then there's a joint committee, but the committees are a little different. And then it comes back to the board, as and it has two readings at the board, like we have ordinances. And I believe it starts the 25th, and it ends May 15th-ish.
In the, flavor of being... you know, we're neighbors, especially on that road. Are we better off waiting until after to vote on this? Because, again, if something happens and we get a smaller footprint, we're locked in to this plat, correct? If we vote on it now, but if a smaller footprint can come out of it, do we want to just hold off? Or are you saying there is no way a smaller footprint's coming out of it?
A smaller footprint from our on our side isn't an option. I mean, what we've got... What's designed at this point will be accommodated with the footprint that's defined on the plat plan. And there isn't anything we're looking at to materially change that, and that's why we consider the plat plan ready to vote on.
If I may comment on the smaller footprint real quick. Basically, from the West Bernhardt property to the Fink or the Pike River, or to short of the Pike River. This is what Mike had brought up, that we could go somewhere, less than 20 to 25 feet by rerouting the path some other route. So that if we were to reach that agreement with Racine County, that plat revision would then move the right of way in.
But that's
that much, and that's it.
But that's on the north side.
On the north side.
So even with smaller mediums, if that's possible, that wouldn't change the south side either?
Well, the smaller median is at a bare minimum, the 22 feet that I
explained. That's just in one section. You have 30 feet in other sections.
30 feet is further west where it's going to all be developed.
So all the green that's on there, that's all 22 feet?
From UP,
right, from
that beach. Way is 22.
So that's even way bigger than where there's in Lakeview. And that's a state road. This is going to be a county.
If anybody knows the footage, did you measure it by chance?
I drive it every day, and I pull right in every day, and I'm.
But I'm just wondering what.
Pretty sure.
Because I don't think anybody knows that off the top of their head.
Yeah.
But we can get that information exactly what
the
medians are.
Yeah.
I explained it before. You don't want to go any narrower than the 22, because the 2 foot curb and the 2 foot curb that takes you down to 16. If I were pulling out of this driveway, I want an opportunity to sit in the median. If I go to 12, there's barely any room. So.
All right, further discussion here? Yes, Jeff? I have a question on this section right here. Okay, you pointed out this transition that Mike was talking about, and there were some people that, would come back here and turn around. Is there any way to cut this median out, like to the driveways?
So it sounds like, based on what Dave said, that's one of the things that they can look at. They have to. What you have to, the risk is this left turn lane, and
right.
Given the traffic volume, and this is designed a certain length based on the volume of traffic that's going to be turning left there. So it just depends on if this can be shrunk up safely so that you could chop this back and then have it be at the same grade level and eliminate. But they'll have to analyze that. But that's one of those design features that could still be refined as the design improvement.
That's based on the number of the volume of cars that do that move right now. So they'll sit there in a line.
So you're going to do a study on it or something?
We already have that determined. That's what that length is based on.
From here to here.
So there's a line of cars that'll sit there at the red light. So somebody can't come out of their driveway and go through the car. Yeah. Now there's no way to go through that.
They've already studied it. Yeah.
Well, I understand they've studied it, and I haven't studied it, and I don't know the answer. That's why I'm asking. So, I mean, is there a way to get it so these driveways don't have to go around, is what I'm saying.
It sounds like, based on what Steve, the analysis they've already done, the length of this
has been defined by to accommodate the number of cars that are needed to be stored in there for that level.
Where does the study show that they have been? All the way down to here?
No, the end of that, before it starts to go on an angle.
Okay, so if we do, that would accommodate all the driveways on there, you wouldn't have to have
but
that?
Like I said earlier, we could take that back and analyze it and make it work. The answer is yes, we'll look at it, and if that's something that we could do safely without losing my license.
Well, I understand that's your top priority, but really, you know, I just want to see if those people can get out of their driveway.
No, I understand. I mean, I got to make sure it's safe, too.
Well, how do if we vote on this tonight, how do we know whether or not we'll get
an answer? Well, we're only voting on the plat.
Because we're not voting on the design of anything. We're voting
just the plat itself.
The amount of land needed to create what's here.
But we're not getting is this any of the adjustments or the how it's going to be designed coming back to us?
We're done after
we do this.
Road designs or building designs, no, that doesn't come back for, you know, that's what we're here for,
okay.
Just to do that.
Well, could you let me know whether or not you cut that off,
if
that bike path is gone on the north side.
Because
those are two things I'd like to see happen. So if you would, since it's not coming back to me, let me know. I'd appreciate it.
I will let you know.
All right.
Levin?
Yeah. I just want to say, just to answer this question, that we meet with the Department of Transportation biweekly. So all these informations are being repeated. So, yes, we're taking notes as we're speaking. We meet with the Department of Transportation biweekly, and that's how we get all this information. A lot of some of them who are sitting there, they've been sending me emails. I forwarded to them. We discuss, and I got to get back to them. So, yes, you would see some of the changes, and we'll be able to give you feedback whether they're making the changes or not.
Right. Jeff Clevenold reported to me.
Just so I know, because I've taken the time to do my due diligence, and I want to make sure I get these answers. So that's all I want. Thank you.
Monica?
On the plat that was presented to us, the bike path is on this plat?
No, the bike path is only on the north side in Racine's plat.
No, but
in
this one,
we received in committee.
The only thing that should be would be the existing one that exists right
by the pipe
here, because that exists today.
Okay.
So that section would be here, but any of the new path that's to be proposed,
mm-hmm.
all that's on the north side.
On
this
north
one
side.
Exists today, so that would show up on that.
Okay, plan. So we don't have to worry about this changing, because everything that you're looking at moving on the north is going to hit Racine.
Correct. Yeah,
okay.
There's nothing on our plat plan that we talked about tonight that will affect, will create any kind of change in our plat plan. It's only potentially on Racine's plat plan.
And if Racine doesn't want it to go north?
It's not that they won't want it, it's just going to be the feasibility once they kind of dig into the specifics of crossing people's property.
You're going to need a lot of permanent easements.
The only thing that's good is, as David indicated, a large chunk of that is owned by Mount Pleasant already. So there's only a couple of other property owners as well.
All right, thank you.
Joe, could you, for the committee, just go through this resolution, explain what the clauses are so everybody's clear. If you don't have a copy, you can have mine there. What the resolution stands for, so that everybody's clear what we're voting for. Be it resolved that and the supporting clauses above it.
Okay, so
you want
me to go
through
the whole thing? Or just the
results? Yeah. Just explain what we're voting on the resolution. Be it resolved.
Well, what we're voting on is a statement, the sense of the board, or a public statement that there is a public purpose for this project, specifically the upgrading and expansion of the portion of County Front Highway KR. We're doing that in order to improve its safety and functionality. We are further stating that it is a necessary and public purpose to acquire the necessary property required in order to complete the project.
The relocation order is attached, as is the plat. As has been indicated, we're only dealing with those aspects that are on the south side of KR, only those portions that are in Kenosha County. And that the necessary and required property interest in order to accomplish this project would be acquired by Kenosha County and would be used for the completion of this project, namely the improvement of KR.
All right, the resolution is before you, and we can certainly consider further discussion and questions on it, but does someone want to put the resolution before the committee for a vote?
Hopefully, for the resolution.
All right, Supervisor Frederick moved it. Is there a second?
Second.
Supervisor Kubicki, a second. Both Finance Committee members, and further discussion.
Can we also?
Yes.
Yeah. John. Can we also ensure that? And I know it's been stated a couple times that there would definitely be a traffic study after the phase two would be put in. We can honestly state that now that it will happen. And
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So as to adjust the speed limit either up or down, whatever the case may be.
Based on the evidence.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to make sure that was clear. Okay.
Yeah. I've got a question, right? On EA there on 72nd, 90th, because it's difficult to tell here. How wide, because right now it's a two-lane road, and you realign it, how many lanes wide is that?
Steve, can you? Is there a right turn lane and a left turn lane going north?
I don't have it.
Five lanes total.
So we're going from a two-lane road to a five-lane
turn lane.
Why?
Five.
Okay. This side here, from the south leg of the intersection going north, that is northbound, you have a left turn lane and a through lane and a right turn lane. Coming south, you have two lanes coming from the north going south, so you will need two lanes here to take it down. That's why.
Now I know the volume of traffic on that road. It's non-existent. Okay? So what makes sense is a center turn lane and a north and a southbound lane. Why have we expanded this? Because you're taking more property that really doesn't need it. I know where EA goes into Sturtevant there. That's all just residential and or multi-use property. South, it's EA. There's nothing on EA. It's all farming. I just don't see why you need five lanes there. Why can't we compromise there and make that three? Steve? I can't even understand why Racine would do that. That is not going to expand upward, because it's landlocked by residents again. And we're going to put a four-lane road up to 11?
Well, again, Steve will be the better friend. They can go back and take a look, but the only caution I want to give is that everything that we do substandard, when everything is said and done, it will be us that will be dealing with it. So
I understand. I don't think you guys are doing substandard. You're trying to plan 50 years out for an area that doesn't have the volume of it right now. So it's affecting your current property owners, right? Those are people that we represent.
Well, the other thing about it is that doing it now and to add modification later is also going to be very expensive. So that's what we weigh most of the time. So if you do now, right now, it might cost you $100,000. Just to do a modification down the road in 10 years' time might cost you $20,000, two times the cost, and it's not even the entire road.
I can't argue that it'll cost more later.
Yeah, so that's
but the impact to us is right now. And yet, one other comment on this resolution before us is, clearly these constituents behind us that Bovini and I represent view their neighbors on the north side of this road as one block of affected individuals. So although it's being pressed that we need to vote and or most likely try to approve this resolution, without having the final details,
of what the DOT has been asked to look at and reconfigure before they've had a chance to really go back and work the details out. I'm uncomfortable losing, a lack of better description, any leverage to have a negotiation on what this design is, and then thus our constituents being directly impacted by the fact that we've passed this resolution. I don't know why it wouldn't behoove us to wait until after the 25th. There's a Thursday on the May 2nd that we could reconvene as a combined meeting to review the detailed drawings of what the DOT has come up with. Right now it's, well, maybe we'll do this and we'll look at that or whatever. And this block of people sitting behind us, that's how they've expressed themselves to us. And I just want to make sure that all the supervisors realize that.
Is there some modification that...
I just want to emphasize, there is no modification being considered for anything on the south side. The only modifications being considered on the bike path, potential relocation on the north side.
The Racine side.
The Racine side. And that is not going to be known in 2 weeks. That's going to take more than 2 weeks to sort out, if that's because there's going to have to be some field surveying, some environmental assessment stuff. It's not going to be a two-week adventure. It's
absolutely, which means that road is not going to get started until that's completed. So what's the rush on our side?
Everything backs up. So we work on a time frame for everything.
I understand.
So it's
and this is also tied into the We Energies learned gas pipe that we're trying to make sense to put it in while the road's under construction. But taking a few weeks is not going to make or break this massive project. That contract isn't even going to be let until, I think it was July 2020.
Well, you see, when you look at the time that is being let, whatever we delay now also push that let time. So the reason why they're doing all of this is to make sure that they catch that let time. Because each section of the design has a period that we have to meet. So if you delay one, so what happens is that it trickles down and then it keeps going and keeps going.
But this resolution doesn't affect the design and the implements of the design, which they're currently working on. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. And a couple weeks is not going to affect the dime scale.
Well, the issue is that they cannot move forward with the design because it has to be, if we do not have the plat approved, then you're telling him that he doesn't have the footprint, so he cannot even continue the design.
I understand, but the footprint is the concern by the constituents. Yeah, being too massive.
Yeah, but the footprint here, we agree that it's not going to change. So if you know that it's not going to change, and the design will be worked on, that I'll ensure that it will work on that. So if we have the footprint set, if you delay it now, where the footprint will still not change in 2 weeks, then it's going to be slowing them down to meet their deadlines.
Mm-hmm. I don't think anything will slow down. I will say this. Approval takes any kind of leverage out of the hands of the county board. That's a fact.
Not true. With Racine not even, I guess, voting on their plat, right?
They're going to vote on Racine's locked in?
Racine's not locked in. And they wouldn't be locked in until after our next meeting or even our next county board meeting, from what I understand. Right?
Timing-wise, right now, they won't be formally voting on it as a board until after us. That's true.
How can we move forward with anything, even if we voted on tonight to pass it, if they haven't?
Well, unless we synchronize with them and we agree to have every committee meeting exactly on the same night on full board, somebody's got to go first, and whether it's us or not, somebody's got to go first.
We would still be going first.
There's nothing. Nothing that's going to change. There's nothing to be gained in my mind to delay anything. These six lanes that are going to be constructed here, those are being constructed right now.
We're well aware of that. We're not talking about phase one. We're talking phase two.
Nothing moves after today if we vote on it or don't vote on it, because nothing moves until Racine finishes up. We both have to vote on it, and we both have to approve it, correct?
Correct.
So if we have two or three more meetings before they even get to that point.
What would be the value of those two or three meetings?
Well, I guess I'd like to know what they're proposing up there and see what Racine feels about it. I understand we're only looking at our side of it, but we are neighbors, and
they're voting on it.
We should at least respect each other's, opinions.
And we've worked closely with the Racine folks. The Racine folks have been a part of every meeting that we've had with the state. So we're in total synchronization with what's going on.
That may be true. However, until yesterday, the proposal of moving the multi-use path and saving 25 or 30 feet hadn't been considered. So if you're working together, obviously one person ain't talking to the other.
Not true. We had a meeting with them on Monday is when it was talked about.
It wasn't proposed as of yesterday. Now it's part of the design, and it's an important facet that these people are concerned with.
We had a meeting, our design team meeting met on Monday. That's when that was talked about. That's when it was proposed. That's
why it's not on that map.
It is. It actually shows that this is a dotted line now. It's dotted for that very reason. It's no longer a solid line like it was last week. It's a dotted line to show that that's under consideration.
The people are impacted by that right in there are not in my district.
I'm ready to work for the finance committee.
But it has an impact.
If it was delayed X number of weeks or days or whatever, is this going to change?
No.
Our side's not going to change. Ours is not going to change.
Okay, question.
So if we're voting on the footprint, is what Mike says going to be, could it be changed as a result of further discussion? Does that change the footprint?
No, okay.
Well, is what he's saying, if what he's saying is, what Mike is suggesting, does that change the footprint?
The bike path is talking
about. The bike path, if it stays where it's at or it moves, will not affect our footprint, will not affect our plat, the plat that's shown in the resolution.
So you're saying though nothing Racine does will change our footprint, even that road, whatever, I can't read it from. Right, if they decided they didn't want those extra lanes, would that affect our side?
No.
We would still do it even if they didn't.
We'd still do it.
Thank you.
Okay, further discussion here, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, I understand where Mike's coming from, but a delay is not going to get us more information. To delay anything would mean I'm going to get more information. We're not going to get any details. And if you want to say you want Racine to go before us, I don't understand that. We're voting on our side of this thing. Now, you did forget when you talked about the bike path, what I asked you to do is look over here, too, and report back to me on that. So you forgot about that already. I just want to make sure you remember that. You know, the part over here that I wheeled over and pointed out right here, that is also something I want to know about.
Yes.
And it's a detail, and I know that, you know, we're approving the footprint.
Wait, I just want to make sure, because you pointed to this part here. Do you mean the existing bike path?
No. The bike path is already something you brought up. I said, and he quoted to me that he had done a study and he needed to go up
the turn lane. Yeah.
See, you forgot the turn lane.
No. All right. We weren't talking turn lanes.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, that's, but I don't think a delay is gonna help us voting on our side of it. I hope that they move that bike path or not put it in at all for the Racine residents, but that's not going to be impacted by our vote.
No.
All right. Is the Finance Committee ready to vote, or do you wish to discuss further?
I ask for a roll call.
All right. No further discussion from Finance. Seeing none, we'll do a roll call. Jeff?
Aye.
Ron?
Yes.
I'm going to vote no.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. All right. It passes Finance. 1-0. Jens?
All right. For Public Works, any further discussion? If not, could I have a motion?
So moved.
Supervisor Franco, second.
This is to remove it from the table, right? Because we tabled it at our last meeting. Was that correct?
That's moved to approve.
Yes, it's tabled.
To, at our Public Works meeting, we tabled it. We had to remove it from the table.
Was it tabled specifically to this meeting?
Yes.
Not specific. No.
That
should
be removed from the table.
Okay. Move to remove it from the table.
Okay, so moved.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Juhas. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So it's removed from the table. Now.
I didn't hear that.
Why are you going to three?
Pardon?
How many noes?
How many noes?
I know. A roll call, evidently.
I guess I'll have to do a roll call. I didn't hear a no.
You didn't ask.
Yeah.
Okay. Roll call.
Can we start with Franco, please?
Supervisor Franco?
This is to remove from the table?
Correct.
Yes.
Supervisor Juhas?
Yes.
Supervisor Kalinske?
No.
Supervisor Nordigan?
No.
Supervisor Poole?
No.
Chair votes yes. In the case of a tie and an absent committee member, I've asked Supervisor Chairman Esposito to vote with the committee. Supervisor Esposito.
I vote yes to remove it from the table.
So now we are on the resolution. Any further discussion? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Franco, seconded by Supervisor Juhas. We'll do a roll call. Supervisor Franco?
Yes.
Supervisor Juhas?
Yes.
Supervisor Skalitsky?
No.
Supervisor Nordigan?
No.
Supervisor Poole?
No.
Chair votes yes. Chairman Esposito?
Yes.
So for Public Works, it passes.
All right. That concludes the agenda. The chair would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second. Never mind.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Me too.
We are now adjourned and we'll go into the
I would request
we need to hold down.